information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society 2018-19 concert season. Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore will take the stage in the season opener on Friday, September 21st. For over 30 years, singer Molly O'Brien and guitarist Rich Moore have made it their mission to unlock the secrets of the canon of American roots music. They are geniuses at interpreting the essence of the songs they tackle. Experience them live at the Portland Folk Music Society season opener on Friday, September 21st at Reedwood Friends Church, located at 2901 Southeast Steele Street in Portland. The concert begins at 7:30 with doors opening at 7. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On his Martin guitar. The poor folk thinks he's gonna be a star.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Hi, I'm Teresa Mitchell, and I'm glad to bring you Rising Up with Sonali. Bread and Roses will be back next week. Rising Up with Sonali has about 700 women of color gathered in San Francisco on Thursday for an historic mobilization of women who are elected officials running for office or supporting women in politics. The gathering called She the People was organized by Democracy in Color and drew representatives like Pramila Jayapal of Washington and Barbara Lee of California, as well as the soon-to-be Congresswoman Deb Haaland and Rashida Tlaib, and prominent activists such as Dolores Huerta, Linda Sarsour, Nina Turner, Alicia Garza, and others. We'll bring you special coverage from She the People on today's show, brought to you by KPFA on KBOO.
From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In today's news headlines, the Kavanaugh scandal continues to rock Capitol Hill, with Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused the Supreme Court nominee of sexual assault, acceding that she might testify to the Senate Judiciary Committee after all. Her lawyers held a 30-minute private phone call with members of the committee on Thursday. In a separate email, the lawyers told senators that Ford, quote, wishes to testify, provided that we can agree on terms that are fair and which ensure her safety. Ford's lawyers have said that she would prefer to speak in front of the committee next Thursday and not in the same room as Judge Kavanaugh. According to CBS, which obtained a copy of the email, Ford has also asked that only the senators question her and not outside counsel, that adequate security be provided, and that a witness named Mark Judge be subpoenaed. President Donald Trump, who had uncharacteristically refrained from attacking Kavanaugh's accuser by name, on Friday morning tweeted, "If the attack on Dr. Ford was as bad as she says, charges would have been immediately filed with local law enforcement authorities by either her or her loving parents. I ask that she bring those filings forward so that we can learn date, time, and place." He then posted a second tweet saying, "The radical left lawyers want the FBI to get involved now. Why didn't someone call the FBI 36 years ago?" Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Kristen Gillibrand of New York spoke at a press conference about the GOP's initial position that Blasey Ford would only be allowed to testify next Monday.
"They would like a he said, she said scenario. Because you know what happens in those scenarios? The men are typically believed. Because you see those issues through your own lens. Why not have the corroborating witnesses? What are they afraid of? Why not have the therapist come in, her husband come in, her friend come in? Why not have Mark Judge testify under oath to the FBI and then in front of the committee?"
That's Democratic Senator Kristen Gillibrand speaking at a press conference this week about the sexual assault allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. GOP Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina is under fire for joking about the sexual assault allegations. Norman, during his opening remarks at a debate with his Democratic rival Archie Parnell, said, "Did y'all hear this latest late-breaking news from the Kavanaugh hearings? Ruth Bader Ginsburg came out that she was groped by Abraham Lincoln." Parnell retorted, "My opponent apparently thinks that sexual assault is a joke. It is not." California Senator Dianne Feinstein's office is reportedly receiving death and rape threats against staff in relation to the Kavanaugh story, according to McClatchy. Feinstein sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Meanwhile, the Guardian newspaper reported on Thursday that Yale law professor and famed author Amy Chua had told a group of law students last year in private that it was, quote, not an accident that Kavanaugh's female law clerks all, quote, looked like models, and that she would, quote, provide advice to students about their physical appearance if they wanted to work for him. Chua, who wrote the book Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, has strongly supported Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. In the latest on Hurricane Florence, while floodwaters are slowly receding in North Carolina, neighboring South Carolina is now the target of downstream flooding and other related environmental disasters. The total death toll in North and South Carolina and Virginia from Florence is now up to 41. Governor Henry McMaster warned residents that, quote, the rainfall and flooding in North Carolina is sending unheard of amounts of water into South Carolina along the Lynches, Great PD, Little PD, and Waccamaw Rivers. The damage in the northeastern part of our state will be catastrophic, he said, surpassing anything recorded in modern history. He has estimated that his state faces about $1.2 billion in damage. In Puerto Rico, residents are marking a year since the deadly Hurricane Maria hit, killing an estimated 2,975 people. According to Associated Press, quote, clapping and raising their hands to the sky, hundreds of people clad in white gathered at an 18th century fort in the Puerto Rican capital of San Juan. Puerto Rico has an estimated $100 billion of damage, and much of the rebuilding has yet to happen. Amnesty International Secretary General Kumi Naidu visited Puerto Rico on Thursday and told press, quote, I think it's inexplicable. There is no justifiable reason I can see for this gross level of negligence. President Trump has questioned Puerto Rico's official death toll estimate and claimed it has been a conspiracy concocted by the Democratic Party to make him look bad. A mass shooting took place in Harford County, Maryland on Thursday when a woman opened fire at a Rite Aid distribution center in Aberdeen, killing three people and wounding three others before pulling the trigger on herself. She died later at a nearby hospital. Authorities have identified the shooter as 26-year-old Snochia Mosley. Mosley was apparently a temporary worker at the center. She had purchased the pistol that she used in the shooting legally. In immigration news, CNN is reporting that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agency arrested undocumented people who identified themselves to authorities in order to take custody of undocumented children in government detention. The outlet explained, quote, the news will serve as confirmation of the worst fears of immigrants and their advocates, that a recent move by President Donald Trump's administration to more fully vet people who come forward to care for undocumented children who are alone in the U.S. has been a way for the administration to track down and arrest more undocumented immigrants. And finally, about 700 women of color gathered in San Francisco on Thursday for a historic mobilization of women who are elected officials, running for office, or supporting women in politics. The gathering, called She the People, was organized by Democracy in Color and drew representatives like Pramila Jayapal of Washington and Barbara Lee of California, as well as soon-to-be Congresswomen Deb Haaland and Rashida Tlaib, and prominent activists such as Dolores Huerta, Linda Sarsour, Nina Turner, Alicia Garza, and others. We'll bring you special coverage from She the People on today's show. And that does it for our headlines. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. I've spent the day today, Thursday, September 20th, at the Julia Morgan Ballroom in San Francisco for the She the People Summit, convened by the organization Democracy in Color, bringing together women that are serving in elected offices from local to state level to national offices, as well as women who are candidates for office, women like Deb Holland and Rashida Tlaib, and women who are uplifting them, the activists, the grassroots organizations and advocacy groups that have been pushing for greater representation of progressive women of color in office. And so this one-day gathering, a sold-out gathering, began at 9 in the morning, continues through 5 p.m., and about 700 attendees, almost entirely women of color, packing the house and listening to inspirational speeches by activists, by elected officials, and really with an eye toward the midterm elections, as well as paying attention to what's happening right now with the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, and the myriad assaults, of course, that Donald Trump has been making on the Constitution. So a really spirited gathering here. And what we're going to be doing today is bringing you the voices of these women, many of them activists, several women members of Congress, and also people who are who have already been elected to office, who won their primaries. I'm very excited. You'll be hearing some interviews and watching some interviews that I've co-hosted with Antonia Yuhas, who is a well-known activist and writer. She's a climate justice and environmental writer, and she's also interim co-host on Upfront for KPFA. And of course, my trip today has been sponsored by KPFA Pacifica Radio in Berkeley. And so I'm so excited to be bringing you the voices of these women today.
I'm Sayu Bojwani. I'm founder and president of New American Leaders.
Tell me about New American Leaders and what that idea is. New America seems like Trump's worst nightmare.
It is, indeed. In fact, many of us are full embodiments of Trump's worst nightmares, people of color, immigrants, women. But New American Leaders, I started it 10 years... No, sorry, let me start again. I started New American Leaders about 8 years ago, understanding that what people are experiencing at the national level was already happening at the local and state level. The anti-immigrant policies, the promises that elected officials were making to our communities were not being delivered on, and that we had to be the leaders we were waiting for, basically. And so our organization works with first and second generation immigrants and people who identify closely with the immigrant experience, helping them to see that they already have what it takes to run for office and to govern on behalf of the people and their communities.
So this particular gathering seems quite historic. It is coming at a time when we're seeing woman after woman, especially women of color, many of them with immigrant backgrounds, breaking through that ceiling or just breaking through that barrier to power, to political power, because women of color especially are so incredibly underrepresented in Congress. Is this about just identity politics or more? Not to minimize identity politics.
Right. No, I think that the way to win elections is never identity politics. Identity politics is a dog whistle, really, for a lot of things. But you win elections by building coalitions. People of color, immigrants, women, anyone who's won an election understands that the way to win elections is to build a coalition of supporters, not to rely on any one singular group of people. And I think what's happening, what we're seeing in 2018, this wave, so-called wave of elections, actually began in small ways from 2013, 14, 15, as things like redistricting happened, as people like me got fed up of seeing elected officials not respond to them. This year, of course, there's a huge surge of women candidates. I don't think that any woman would say that they were relying primarily on their gender or ethnicity to get elected. They're saying, we are fed up, we have a better solution for our communities, we are talking to every single voter that could be, we're talking to every single person who could be a voter rather than just the people who've always gone to the polls. So expanding the electorate, changing the narrative, and responding to the needs of everyday people is how we're winning elections.
So are there, do you feel a strong enough grassroots base for some of these women candidates to keep them true to values? Because, of course, the cynics among us would say once people get into office, they forget their base, because we tend to have this skewed dynamic between political, between elected officials and voters, where voters get behind politicians rather than push politicians.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. I think that we are in a moment that we have to all be vigilant if we want to have an inclusive and multiracial democracy that is accountable to the people of America. That means that we have to show up, that we have to challenge incumbents, that we have to push incumbents to push elected officials to be responsive and to vote them out if they don't do what they're supposed to do. I think it's very challenging to be a first-time elected. I think we do have to give people support. We have to not expect them to pass every single policy on their in their first 3 months. At the same time, as we're being, I think there's a way to be realistic, but also ambitious. And it's really important that we the people and she the people are doing that, but that our electeds also need to know that we're woke and we're ready and we're coming for them if they don't respond.
If Democrats take the House this November, there's some polls that show they might even be able to challenge the Republicans in the Senate.
And you are listening to Rising Up with Sonali. This is a program brought to you via KPFA, a Pacifica station that started community radio way back in 1949. And you are listening to it here on KBOO. I am Ani. I'm here with Teresa.
Hi.
Hi. And we are asking you to take this moment right now to join KBOO Community Radio, because we are your community connection here in this area. We can bring you such great programs like Rising Up with Sonali because your support has kept us strong and together for these 50 years. So right now is a great time to continue that support and call 877-500-5266. This is a wonderful time to join KBOO. Do you know why, Teresa?
You mean why specifically now?
Why specifically now?
You tell me.
Because we have $19,698 left in our goal towards the end of our fall membership drive.
Oh, we got past 20. Yeah.
Right? That's under $20,000. We are getting so close. And we are doing it one listener at a time. Calling in right now, 877-500-5266, to say yes to KBOO, yes to your community. Yes, you know you have an important part to play in keeping people's media free and independent. That is you. So please pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266 and help us close the gap for that last $19,698.
Closing in on the goal, and it's been a long pledge drive. I always have a blast at pledge drives, and I really enjoy them. And on the other hand, they really wear myself out, and they wear a core of volunteers and staff out as well. Although we enjoy what we're doing so much, it's starting to look good that we see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so traditionally, we have our package, but this is our 50th anniversary package. And so let me lay this on you. If you want to pledge a dollar a day to KBOO, you can get this: a lava lamp that says KBOO, a black beanie that says KBOO, a membership coin that says KBOO, a 50th anniversary pin, an exhibit booklet, a KBOO mixtape, a 50th anniversary CD, and a KBOO logo t-shirt. All of it. Buck a day, $31 a month. That's 3 minutes on the phone. You call in. I imagine most of you who go for this are already contributors and just want to up your pledge. So 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, or maybe that's just the way for you to get your feet wet. Just call us right now. Spend 3 minutes on the phone, 877-500-5266, and get all the swag.
That's right. And I gotta slightly disagree. I've talked to many members that have taken us up.
You disagree?
I know. It's true. I quibble sometimes. But, you know, here's the thing, that many members have stopped by today and said, yeah, they want to step forward. They want to be a hero for KBOO. They want to help us wrap up this drive successfully. They want to make sure that we are financially strong. And they have not necessarily been monthly contributors before. So this is a great thing. If you know that KBOO is important to your life and you're listening right now, so you know the goodness that KBOO brings you in terms of relevant news and information, in terms of training local people from the communities to actually be media makers so that we can amplify all the voices that need to be heard, so that we can make sure that, so that we can make sure that we can empower each other and actually make each other aware of issues that are so very vital. We can build bridges between communities. We can hear and access important news and information that we can then use to make informed decisions and try to make the world a better place. And that is really at its nexus. This is what KBOO is all about. And right now, you are moved right now to call 877-500-5266. We have a goal of $300 before 7 o'clock. That is fantastic. And please help us raise that $300. Right now, one person stepping forward and saying, I want to be a hero for KBOO. I've got a dollar a day for my community. You can actually take us over the top for that goal. But we don't want to hear from just one person. We want to hear from all the folks listening right now, giving what you can to keep KBOO alive, independent, and strong. You are a part of us. Please financially support KBOO right now at 877-500-5266. And when you do that, let us thank you. Let us thank you with this wonderful limited edition 50th anniversary package. That's one way we can thank you. We can thank you with other things as well. Just let us know you're there and that you care and that you are a part of KBOO. 877-500-5266.
Rising Up with Sonali, one time special replacement for Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses will be back next week, and you can be rising up just like the blobs on the KBOO lava lamp right now and calling us, 877-500-5266. 877 is toll-free, 500-5266. Once again, that KBOO 50th anniversary package for you for a dollar a day includes the lava lamp, the black beanie, the membership coin, the 50th anniversary pin, the exhibit booklet, the KBOO mixtape, the 50th anniversary CD, and the KBOO logo t-shirt, all yours, and our appreciation for pledging a dollar a day, $31 a month about, to KBOO at 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266.
Or online at kboo.fm. You can join us online. If you have our phone app, you can tap the phone app and donate that way. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient. Just do whatever it is that works for you to make sure that you are stepping forward and being a KBOO member, a KBOO supporter, that you, in fact, are making this radio station your very own, because you listen to the radio a little bit differently. Shows sound a little different once you know that your dollars are helping to keep the lights on and helping to keep the transmitter going so that we can all hear this great program and other programs just like it, whether they're locally produced here from our community volunteers or whether we get them through some syndication like Pacifica with KPFA's program Rising Up for Sonali that you are hearing tonight. This is your time to step forward and be counted. This is your time to say yes to your community radio station. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. Call right now. Become a KBOO member this evening. You'll know it's the right thing to do.
What do you expect happening next year? People have just become so apathetic about government. Do you think we might end up finding ourselves in a place where there's just gridlock in government, where the Democrats essentially, stop Trump from doing any more damage, and Trump stymies or refuses to sign any bill that Democrats might pass?
Well, look, I think none of us know what's going to be happening in 2019, whether the Democrats take the House or not. But I also think that there's a very, very important trend in American politics that is addressing the disconnect between establishment Democrats and a newer group of people who are maybe voting Democrat right now but do not feel aligned with certainly the idea of both the National Democratic Party as well as their state-based parties. And so there's one tension that we're going to see between the Trump administration and the House and the Senate, but I think there's an internal tension among Democrats that is, in my mind, the biggest challenge that we're going to face. Because if we believe that the American system has the checks and balances to correct itself, which, you know, is in itself a contentious idea. But let's say we were to believe in that. I think the other big challenge for our democracy is, what does the Democratic Party look like so that it is inclusive of younger folks, marginalized Democrats, people who are going to Democrats only because they don't want to be Republican. And I don't think that's a way to build a movement. You build a movement that is for something rather than, okay, I'm just here because I have no alternative, you know?
Do you feel that party identification has hampered progress, that voters are more interested in picking their favorite candidates rather than just voting Democratic down the line, and that voting Democratic down the line has enabled the establishment of the party to take voters for granted, which has then in turn led to people just leaving the party and leaving politics altogether?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no single reason why we have the kind of apathy that we have right now. I think to some extent we as voters are to blame, to some extent electeds are to blame, to some extent the party. But the reality is that I see this as a huge opportunity. Like, we have a challenge, but it's a huge opportunity to build a democracy that's going to work for this new demographic, this new woke public, right? And I think that we have to fundamentally change the way democracy works. So we need to make being in legislative office appealing and, frankly, financially viable for working class Americans. We need to take money out of politics. We need to have more single-member districts so that ordinary people can run and win. We need to have public financing of elections. And we need to institute more term limits, including in Congress, in order that new voices are constantly entering democracy and mobilizing voters and engaging the public around public policy.
Right. Presidents can only run for two terms, but senators and members of Congress can just keep going and going and going.
They're there forever. I mean, and that's why you have people who take for granted their voters.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Is there a website you'd like to share about your organization?
Sure. NewAmericanLeaders.org. My new book, People Like Us, talks about how our democracy is outdated for the new multiracial country that we are living in, and frankly, for America today and the future. So,
thank you so much. Good luck to you.
Okay. My name is Angelica Salas. I am the executive director of CHIRLA, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights. And I'm here also with the Fair Immigration Reform Movement, our national immigrant rights organizing network.
So the issue of immigrant rights, of course, is absolutely critical in this election because immigrants have become the primary target in Trump's America, but immigrants were also the target in previous administrations. What is the role that immigrants, presumably naturalized citizens directly, but also immigrants as activists, play in this upcoming midterm election, which so many women here are focused on?
Well, first and foremost, what I see across this country is immigrant women and immigrants actually rolling up their sleeves and really exercising the power that they do have. So immigrants are becoming citizens in record numbers. In the last 2 years, 2 million people actually applied for citizenship in order for them to have a more active role in the democratic process, but also individuals are looking at their families within their family members and saying, okay, who in our family is a citizen, and how do we activate that citizen to participate and represent the entire family? Most in California, for example, 50% of the population is either an immigrant or a child of an immigrant, and so we're really motivating, especially the children of immigrant women and immigrant of immigrant families to be activated if they are U.S. citizens. So we've been done massive registration, voter registration drives. This Saturday, we launched our entire statewide program in which I see women knocking on doors, making phone calls, activating their neighbors to make sure that they participate and that they vote on behalf of immigrant families. But really, it's on behalf of them, of saying, what kind of an America are we? Are we an America that's going to shut the door to immigrants and refugees that are seeking, really seeking protection? Or are we going to be the America that deports everybody and that separates families? And I think people are making choices, and our hope is that they choose an America in which we all belong, and that is what we're fighting for.
A lot of the women who are running for Congress this year have immigrant backgrounds, men as well, but Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, you know, you have people, women who are in junior members of Congress like Pramila Jayapal. They're either children of immigrants or even first-generation immigrants themselves, or they are first-generation immigrants pushing for the election of candidates of color. Do you feel that there is enough momentum in Congress, particularly given the controversy around family separation, which had the positive impact of raising immigrant rights issues in the minds of Americans? Do you see a lot of momentum to improve immigrant rights going forward past these midterms and undoing all of the damage that the Trump administration has done?
I see a lot of a deeper understanding of immigrant families and immigrant issues, and really seeing the connection between our own advancement as communities and the advancement of immigrants. So I think that's very positive. I think for many people, they were awakened to what's really happening, because a lot of the issues that we're confronting, detention, deportation, family separation at the border and at the interior, things that have been happening before. But now what the Trump administration has done is really launched it at a mass scale and at a cruel scale. And so I'm hopeful that individuals will demand from their elected officials positive change and in more humane and just immigration laws that allow individuals to come in into this country that are welcoming immigrants, but also that are keeping families together here in the United States by pushing forward mass legalization and permanent protections for Dreamers, permanent protections for everybody who has TPS, who's losing their legal temporary protected status. They're losing their legal status. That is my hope, but it's also our work, and that's why when we're knocking on doors, we actually leave out lawn signs that say, I'm a voter and I stand with immigrants, so that people understand that their vote actually makes a difference in where we go on policy. I'm very hopeful about all the children of immigrants that are running. And I also see a difference because I see what happened in California. Many elected officials in California are the sons and daughters of immigrants. And then when they're passing policies, they're really reminded of what it, they have a personal experience, so they're reminded what they had to go through and help us advance a more pro-immigrant agenda in the state of California. My hope is that that will happen in the nation.
As you and I are speaking and as this gathering is happening in Helicot, there are thousands of immigrant undocumented children that are being detained. We just had a report recently showing a peak number of children detained that are caught in this horrific limbo. They're being housed in private prisons. They are being detained either by themselves or sometimes with their families. And of course, Trump wants to overturn the Flores settlement. It feels like a losing battle, but there are literally human lives at stake here. And I feel like we are still not hearing enough about that, even from some of our candidates. I mean, we need to be reminded constantly that this country has traumatized children and continues to traumatize and abuse children on a mass scale.
Absolutely. I think that there's been a lot of attention paid to what has happening in family separation, but not enough. Not enough to compel for a different reaction. There is no reason that we should have children in jails. There is no reason. They should not be, they call them immigration detention. Let's call them what it is. They're immigration jails, and we have kids in jails. And that's wrong. And simply, they're coming to this country. Many of them are trying to connect with family members. Others have no family members. Many of them have seen their family members killed. What we should do is put them in protection, embrace them outside of these confines of these detention centers. And every single elected official has a responsibility to speak up and to take action so that these children are living in freedom, not behind bars.
So finally, we saw a lot of immigrant groups, advocacy organizations make a difference in pushing President Obama and this summer pushing President Trump even to back off on some of the worst aspects of family separation. So the Dreamers and other organized groups among immigrants do see their impact on politics. So finally, can you tell us about the work of CIRLA and how you're going to be engaging in the electoral process to push elected officials to do the right thing, because this is becoming a browner nation, and that's exactly what Trump and his base are afraid of, right?
So CIRLA launched the Immigrant Political Power Project. It is a combination of our C3 organization, CIRLA, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, and CIRLA, the CIRLA Action Fund. And through the CIRLA Action Fund, we are actually going to create accountability campaigns in each one of the districts in which we see elected officials who have stood with Trump one time after another when it came to immigration. So we have over 1,000 volunteers that are going to be knocking on doors. Our call center operation is in running in full speed. Our goal is to connect with 216,000 California voters, many of them who are immigrants or who are the children of immigrants. Engaging in 34 counties in the state of California, because we know that every election for immigrants is a crucial election, and this is no different. And we need to make sure that elected officials stand with us, stand with our families, and that we continue our engagement and our organizing beyond Election Day so that we can make sure that every single action that they take is positive on behalf of our families, is positive in terms of moving forward a new set of immigration laws that actually hold up the dignity of immigrant communities that contribute so much in this nation and who have yet to have their rightful place given to them in this country.
And you are listening to Rising Up with Sonali here on KBOO Community Radio. This is your community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Teresa. And we are asking you right now to stop what you're doing for just a moment and to support this important program and other programs like it here on KBOO, your community radio station. Make it your own when you dial 877-500-5266. That's the number to your membership here at KBOO. And in fact, we are a member-controlled organization. So as a member, we're not just asking you to donate. We are asking you to become actively involved in this community resource because it is a fantastic thing to do. You keep us connected to the grassroots. You keep us connected to communities. We do this thing together. That is community radio. So right now is a great time for you to step forward and become a hero for KBOO. Become a hero for KBOO. Contribute $1 a day. Can you contribute $30 a month to your community radio station? We have an amazing limited edition gift pack. If you can step up and do that amount, that's fantastic. If you can't do quite that much, that's cool too. Please just come on in and participate. We are here for you. You are here for us. We do this thing together. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Portland, KBOO Portland. And I'm Teresa Mitchell, and this is pretty inspiring stuff, and I'd like to thank Derek Crooks for turning me on to Rising Up with Sonali. That's what we've been listening to, and their copy says about 700 women of color gathered in San Francisco yesterday for a historic mobilization of women who are elected officials running for office or supporting women in politics, and I think that you will recognize some of those voices, and what they're saying is very powerful and very true. You know, it's what's being done by the Trump administration is the exact opposite of what should be done when children come up here who are driven here by the violence that the U.S. has inculcated into that region for, you know, well, more than 100 years, but it's especially since 1954 with the overthrow of Jacobo Arbenz. We should be paying reparations. We should be giving these people new and better lives, but instead we're throwing them in jails. And so 700 women getting together in San Francisco is pretty encouraging. This is the sort of thing that you can hear about on KBOO, and I'll dare you to find it elsewhere. 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. It's so encouraging. Now, I'd like to encourage you to get your feet wet if you've never joined KBOO by getting the Keep Portland Radical t-shirt. It costs $75. Which makes it a pretty expensive t-shirt, but it's actually just a gesture from us, from the gesture from you, of sending us $6.25 a month. And if you got $6.25 in your bank account right now, well, it's going to be there next month, because that's just part of the lagniap that you leave there to make sure your bills get paid. So leave a little more lagniap, and bam, you're a KBOO supporter, and you've got the t-shirt. It says Keep Portland the Radical, KBOO Community Radio, and it's got our transmitter logo on it. It's a blazing logo, and I think you'll like it. It's fuchsia on black, white.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it.
You'll like it. It's 877-500-5266, and it's 3 minutes on the phone with us. We'd love to talk to you. The important thing is that you call us right now. We'd love to hear the phone ring, and it definitely gets things going. It gets the energy flowing here when we hear the phone ring. We love it. I mean, if you're only able to do it online, then that's great. We're at KBOO.fm, and click us. Click us real good. But 877-500-5266 is the number to call right now. 877-500-5266. I'm just going to hiccup over here, and you get to pitch.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. Rising Up with Sonali is talking about the importance of coalition building tonight, right? They are talking about the importance of reaching out across specific communities to join with other communities so that, in fact, we can amass real people power to change the system, to, in fact, help people in our situations right now by making sure that people's needs are actually being looked at, that women's needs are being looked at. When it comes to the elected politicians, you know, right now, I gotta say, not really serving our interests, right? And so that's what this is about. It's about building strong coalitions to make sure that we can have the political power to change the system so that our voices can be heard, so that in fact, our needs can be supported. And you're getting that information here on KBOO because we are an independent media resource, because we understand that importance of coalition building. We understand the importance of coming together because, in fact, the sum of the whole is larger than each of us, right? There is a synergistic effect as we build community and coalition together. And right now, we are asking you to contribute your strength and your support to KBOO Community Radio so that we can keep bringing you dynamic programming just like this, so that we can keep the training systems open, so that people can access us and learn how to be media makers, so learn how to be independent media producers here on KBOO. It is so important that you yourself understand that you are how we keep this going. Please, right now is a great time to call and help us chip away at that last $19,000. We have done so much this membership drive, and we've done it with you. We've been doing it for 50 years with you. And right now is a great time for you to make sure you are continuing your support to KBOO, or in fact, becoming a brand new member to KBOO Community Radio right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call here. It is your key to membership in Community Radio KBOO. You can also join us online at KBOO.fm. You know that you are more informed about the issues that are meaningful to you because you listen to KBOO's news and public affairs. So really, this is the time for you to decide the right level of support that works for you and your budget, and to make the call that makes such a difference. Please call us right now at 877-500-0. Dang, we got to practice that, Teresa. Let's try it again. 877-500-5266 is that number. Again, 877-500-5266, or online at KBOO.fm. Just takes a moment of your time. It is an important and powerful thing to do. Join with other community members in building this community radio station, making us stronger so that we go into the future together. 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Angelica. Give out the website for CHIRLA.
Sure. CHIRLA is www.chirla.org. The CHIRLA Action Fund is www.chirlafund.org. And we also invite people to become volunteers. There's so many opportunities to canvass, call voters, to register young people. It's so important that people get involved in this election.
Thank you so much, Angelica.
Thank you so much.
I'm Sonali Kohatkar reporting from the She the People Summit in San Francisco, taking place Thursday, September 20th. You've been hearing some of the voices of incredible women of color who are either running for office or have run for office or are supporting those women running for office. And we're going to be back after this short break with more voices of women. Stay tuned. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar, and you can, of course, watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations around the nation. KPFA Pacifica Radio in Berkeley has sent me to the incredible She the People Summit taking place Thursday, September 20th in San Francisco. I've spent the entire day here at the Julia Morgan Ballroom in San Francisco, where nearly 1,000 women, something like 600 to 700 women of color, have been seeing incredible women speakers, women of color speakers, who are running for office, have run for office, considering running for office, and supporting women running for office to be those change makers. We're going to continue now to bring you some of these incredible voices of women.
My name is Teresa Younger, President and CEO of the Ms. Foundation for Women.
What is the role of the Ms. Foundation here at She the People and the work that you're doing here? How do you see you and your organization fitting in a summit like this?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that the Ms. Foundation has long supported for nearly 45 years the idea of building women's collective power throughout the United States. Today we are here to support the women, particularly women of color, who have come together in a unifying voice to say this is the time for us to really have an impact. And we have, throughout the United States and over the past 45 years, over 1,600 grantee partners who 70% of them are women of color-led organizations, and some of them have actually run for office and have won. And so we know the importance of having women in political positions that can change the policies that have been oppressing us for far too long, and that we know and we want to be able to support the running of and supporting the placement of women in those kinds of leadership roles, particularly women of color.
Has this been a turning point year since, well, let's just say, since the emergence of the hashtag MeToo movement? It feels like a different political moment that we're in right now when it comes to women and women's rights and taking seriously women's voices.
You know, I am not sure that it's just around the Me Too moment. I actually think we saw women of color coming together when we saw a first lady like Michelle Obama in front of us. I think we started finding our voices and people started paying attention to those voices because we've always been in these leadership roles. Women of color, particularly black women, have led almost every social justice movement this country has ever seen. I think now media, because of its alternative forms, cannot not pay attention to us now. And so I think Me Too is a point in the moment, but that's not the point. The point is the fact that we've come together and realized that if we do not speak up for each other, if we do not support each other, if we as women of color cannot see the sisterhood, nobody will see it. And it is incumbent upon us to be the models and the role models for what that needs to look like in this country.
So do you feel that political parties and politicians are starting to take women of color more seriously, because for far too long they've taken women of color for granted as reliable voters who will show up and vote for a particular party because they feel that that party is the best option they have. But then when we see people in power, we see women of color being thrown under the bus over and over again when it comes to jobs or healthcare, or all these issues important to us.
Yeah, I think we're not going to take it anymore. I think we have gotten to a point where we recognize that we have the power and the collective power to actually carve out space for ourselves. I don't think that political parties are like taking this aha moment and stepping back, because there are women of color who are running throughout this country who do not have the backing of the major political parties, and yet they are running and they are winning their primaries, and they will run and they will win in their elected offices in November. And so what I think has happened is we've said we're not going to take it anymore, and we're not going to play by the rules that continue to oppress us. We are actually going to design our own rules, and we continue to see that. We saw that in Alabama. We're seeing that in Georgia. We're seeing that in many states throughout this country, where women said, we will design how we want this to look, and we will build it in the way that we believe best serves our communities and our families.
Are these women doing it without too much establishment support, basically taking the initiative wherever they can, the support wherever they can, and, you know, forcing elites to recognize them?
Absolutely. I think they're in the we're not going to take it anymore, and I think they're willing to push back. And guess what? At this moment in time, we have nothing to lose. We cannot rely on others to do this for us. We saw what happened in 2016. We are watching the world that election result is doing for the next generation of young people, and out of disrespect for those that came before us, and we are saying that is no longer acceptable. And so we will do it, quote unquote, by any means necessary, so that we create the world that we believe needs to be there. And we will not rely, not on our white sisters, not on our brothers, not on our white brothers. We will rely on ourselves and each other to get this done.
It seems as though one of the biggest impediments to women of color being able to run for office is money, because our system is set up to require one to have access to independent amounts of wealth in order to be able to run, which is one of many reasons why we have such a disproportionate unrepresentation in Congress, right?
No, I think the whole structure is broken, right? We are living in a patriarchal structure that was built on promoting people that have wealth. And what I think we are doing is breaking down all of those assumptions around what it takes. And we are running. We are raising money. We are stepping up and putting our dollars where it matters, and women have continued to do that. No church in this country, no synagogue in this country, no temple in this country would be where it was if women were not prioritizing things that were important to them. And now I think they have come to terms with the fact that they must prioritize themselves and their sisters in this fight. But I also think we recognize that money has contaminated the system, and we need to come up with ways to change what that looks like. And in some ways, it means getting into office and changing the systems, and in other ways it means changing it on the grassroots and figuring out how we want to organize alternatively.
Finally, do you worry that even if we do change the makeup of Congress, you know, significantly this November and each election, little by little, toward a more proportional representation, that there will still be this group of very angry Americans who feel that women that look like you and I, immigrants, are taking something away from them, for whom equality feels like oppression? And we'd like to think that it's an older generation that will eventually die off, but unfortunately we see that sentiment in younger Americans too.
You know, that idea about who we need to worry about, I think, and how they will hold a resentment in this, is just a reaffirmation for me that we need to change the narrative. And we need to explain what our narrative is, and we cannot step back. What we have to do moving forward is we have to be in it for the long haul. The changing demographics of this country actually are behind us to support us, and we need to remember that is happening. The browning and blackening of this country is what is behind us and will hold to the winds that need to make this change happen. And guess what? We do not need to worry about those who do not like us. What we need to do is unify those who are like us. And that's a key thing that we need to understand. We don't need to concentrate on those. They will, at some point, move. We know people can move how they are, where they are, what their thoughts are. It's happened time and time and time again. It's got us to where we are. And yet, we just need to push forward with the positive messages, with the ability to make change. And we need to do this for the long haul. This is not about 2018 or 2020 or 2024. Let's talk about this for 2044 and what that would look like when we have an electoral process on the local, state, and national level that actually reflects the population of people and moves women into leaderships at greater than 50%.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Give out a website where people can find out about the work you do.
Sure. We encourage people to go to forwomen.org, which is the website for the Ms. Foundation for Women website.
The number four or just F-O-R?
F-O-R, yeah.
Forwomen.org. Thank you so much again, Teresa.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Ashanti Golar. I am the National Political Director of Emerge America. And it is important for us to be at this summit because we firmly believe that to have a reflective democracy, you not only need women involved, but you need women of color involved. And when we look at the number of women that are stepping up to run, these women are diverse, they are empowered, and they are the type of representation that we need. So it's important for us to be here and to show our support for women of color.
So how does your organization train women? Because it's one thing to be an activist and to be passionate about your values. It's another thing to prepare yourself to take on the very big job of being an elected representative.
Yes. So the fact is, being an elected official, most people who are currently elected officials, they start off as activists, as organizers, because there's that one issue that they really care deeply about that spurs them to run for office. So what we do is we train those women on the ins and outs of what it takes. The fact is, running for office is hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it. So we demystify the process. We talk about how do you build a campaign plan? How do you hire campaign staff? Public speaking, fundraising. So many people are terrified of raising money to run for office. How do you get that endorsement? How do you canvass? How do you set up a phone bank? We teach women how to do every single thing that they need to do to run for office and to be a competent candidate, but also a confident candidate for when they're out there on a campaign trail. And we provide an ongoing network of support so when they do it, they don't have to do it alone.
It seems as though those issues that you were talking about, that sort of training, oftentimes is something that a lot of men from political dynasties in our country who've had generations running for office and winning can take for granted. They may come from money. They may have watched their fathers or grandfathers run for office and win. And to them, it's just another stepping stone. But for the rest of us who have been locked out of politics, it's a big learning curve. So women in particular and women of color have been locked out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And for a lot of people, it is easy to just go to the person whose family has been in political office for decades, who has the name recognition, who can self-finance their campaign. That's the easy way to do it. And not to say those people aren't great elected officials, but that's not a reflective democracy. People want to see people who look like them, who come from the same background as them, who they fully understand what their life experiences have been, and to take those and to bring them to elected office. And we firmly believe that anyone in this country can run for office. And we encourage that for women. And we say that Emerge is there to help you, to train you, and to get you on the path forward to becoming an elected official.
And you've been listening to Rising Up with Sonali here on KABU Community Radio. I'm Ani. I'm here with Teresa.
Hi.
And you are hearing about the importance of getting representation in our representational democracy, right? It seems like such a simple concept. And yet, the system has been rigged, let's face facts, to really keep people of color, women of color, and women in general out of the elected scene. And so we're actually seeing some very exciting races right now. We are seeing, in fact, here locally, we are seeing a very exciting race where no matter who wins, we will actually in Portland be electing our first black woman into the city council. later this year. And so that is really exciting. It is time that we actually make sure that all of our elected representatives start looking a little bit more like the population that they are serving, because that understanding of lived experience is essential to making sure that they understand also our needs and our priorities as communities in the areas that they are serving. So we get this information because KBOO is an independent community radio station. You know this information is important and it's powerful. And we're asking you to step forward right now and make sure that you are doing your part to keep the information flowing so that we can remain empowered and strong together. This is your time to become a member of KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call this evening. Please just take a moment right now and do it. 877-500-5266. We are closing in on the goals. I will have an update momentarily. But closer, the thing is, closer. Make sure that you are a part of this. Make sure that you are actually helping to build KBOO Community Radio stronger. We do it with each listener right now participating at 877-500-5266. Also, a reminder, everyone that calls that number today will be entered for your chance to win a prize. And today's prize is a drawing for a $200 gift certificate from Laughing Planet. You can go to kboo.fm for all the rules and details on the prizes. But to make sure that you get entered, you need to dial 877-500-5266. And while you're dialing that number, why not kick down a contribution to KBOO? 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Hi, this is Teresa, the transgender transmitter, and I'm here to ask you to join KBOO, the place I love. And I wonder if you're ready to step up to a dollar a day, because if you are, you can get the KBOO 50th anniversary package with a lava lamp with KBOO on it, a black beanie with KBOO on it, a membership coin guest, a 50th anniversary pin, an exhibit booklet, a KBOO mixtape, a 50th anniversary CD, and I'm not even done, you get a KBOO logo t-shirt in your size. You can do it by calling right now, 877-500-5266, or just call and say hi, 877-500-5266.
Or online, kboo.fm. And now we make way for DVD's Hard Knock Radio. Keep those calls coming, 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Gravy, located in both Boise at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue and in Kearns at 3101 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Serving traditional American breakfast and brunch, both locations are open daily from 7:30 to 3 p.m. Lunch provided by Nicholas, located in Portland's Industrial District at 318 Southeast Grand Avenue. Open daily from lunch to dinner, serving Mediterranean-style cuisine. Dinner provided by Nora Nickel, located in Portland Central East Side at 1430 Southeast Water Avenue, serving ramen from 11 to 2 a.m. every day. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now. KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will